Huerta calls for significant cuts in certification costs. Sikorsky gets the S-76D type certified. And Endeavour makes its final landing. This is Aero News for Tuesday, October 16, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. In a speech to an audience made up of many of the country's biggest GA manufacturers, Acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta said Thursday that he has put in motion a plan that could eventually mean sharp reductions in the cost and time associated with the certification of new general aviation airplanes. Speaking to the Wichita Aero Club, Huerta said that the ARC charged with looking at Part 23 is taking a fresh look at how the agency certifies general aviation aircraft. Huerta said the committee has suggested switching from criteria based on an airplane's weight and propulsion to criteria that correspond to the aircraft's performance and its complexity. As an example, Huerta cites testing procedures for a wing, saying, quote, "If we can all agree on one way to test an aircraft wing, then each country does not have to write the procedure itself. Nowadays, you may have to do the test slightly different in each country, and this takes a whole lot more time. And it costs literally millions of dollars to make these slight changes that will account for country differences. The new approach saves time and money for companies because it's one testing standard across the globe," end quote. Huerta said that the FAA would continue to exercise the authority to certify whether or not an airplane design met the standard, but industry consensus standards that would apply anywhere in the world would be used. The FAA has approved the type certificate for the S-76D helicopter, moving the aircraft forward to its highly anticipated delivery into the medium-sized marketplace. The FAA signed the certificate on October the 12th, capping an intensive flight test program to introduce the S-76D. The S-76D helicopter has a current backlog approaching $500 million and is expected to begin deliveries later this quarter. The S-76D is the latest in the family of the popular S-76 helicopters manufactured by Sikorsky. Designed for safety, reliability, and efficiency, the S-76D helicopter's standard equipment features are all composite, flaw-tolerant main rotor blades, an advanced Thales integrated avionics system and autopilot, health and usage monitoring system, active vibration control, and powerful Pratt & Whitney Canada PW210S engines. Rotor ice protection systems for all-weather capability will be available as an option. Well, the California Science Center has its space shuttle. Endeavour was towed 12 miles through the streets of Los Angeles, California over the weekend to the museum, which will open the permanent exhibit on October the 30th. The trek began behind a truck on Friday, inching along Martin Luther King Boulevard in Los Angeles, and was not without its challenges, according to a report appearing on KABC television. The shuttle reportedly came within an inch of several obstacles along the way, and the procession was halted late Saturday night when a small tree that had first thought would not be a problem had to be removed. It was one of 400 trees that had to be removed. The shuttle, which normally operated at a speed of 17,000 miles per hour in orbit, was reduced to a stately 2 miles per hour as it made its way to the temporary shelter erected at the museum while its permanent display area is completed. More than 1 million people reportedly lined the route over the weekend to watch the procession. In cooperation with Redbird Flight Simulations, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, or SAFE, recently made its Pilot Proficiency Project simulator training scenarios available for download through the SAFE website. The same simulator training scenarios co-developed by SAFE instructors and the Redbird team that were employed during this year's EAA AirVenture and the recent AOPA Summit are now available to all operators of Redbird's simulators. Operators must have the latest Redbird software installed in order to properly run these training scenarios. In addition to the software, documentation with recommended teaching points is also available online. SAFE's Pilot Proficiency Project provides forums and simulator training sessions that address key safety of flight issues. Founded in 2009, SAFE represents nearly 700 of the industry's top aviation educators, including the majority of master instructors, as well as numerous local, regional, and national general aviation award winners. When Aero News continues, NATA urges both candidates to focus on the positive. A ride on the aviation labor relations merry-go-round, And Baumgartner did it yesterday, but Jaeger did it first.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, October the 16th. I'm Glenn Moyer. With the second presidential debate on tap tonight, the National Air Transportation Association, NATA, is encouraging both President Obama and challenger Mitt Romney to focus on the vital role that aviation plays in the U.S. economy. The general aviation industry employs 1.3 million people and contributes more than $150 billion to the U.S. economy. And NATA President and CEO Thomas Hendricks says, quote, "It's important that our leaders recognize the massive job-creating role of general aviation. Aviation is the critical component that connects the U.S. economy, and we simply cannot take it for granted or use it for partisan political purposes," end quote. Hendricks' comments follow a statement in the first presidential debate by President Obama, erroneously implying that general aviation received unfair tax breaks. Pinnacle Airlines has reached a tentative agreement with the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, the legal representative of the Pinnacle Airlines Flight Attendant Group. Pinnacle is seeking concessions from all of its employees in order to emerge successfully from Chapter 11 proceedings with a competitive cost structure. The two sides reached a tentative agreement on concessions that cover pay, retirement, work rules, and benefits. The concessions would become effective when concessions are implemented for other labor groups and non-union employees. AFA members at the airline will now have the opportunity to vote on the tentative agreement in the coming days. Compass Airline flight attendants, meanwhile, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, have authorized a strike should negotiations with management fail to reach an agreement that can be ratified. The strike was authorized by an overwhelming 94% of participating flight attendants. Compass is a Delta connection carrier. And with its planes sitting on the ground and bankruptcy looming large, management at India's Kingfisher Airlines had scheduled a meeting on Monday with the pilots and engineers hoping to break the labor impasse and get the airline flying again. The Economic Times of India reports, however, that the meeting has now been pushed to Wednesday, October the 17th. The airline's workers have been on strike since October 1st as a result of non-payment of salaries for the past 7 months. The meeting, now slated for Wednesday, is seen as a make-or-break for the struggling airline. It's been a long time since the last time that Ed McMahon made his trademark introduction, "Here's Johnny," which makes a recent discovery at March Air Force Base in California even more special. Once thought to be lost, a film reel containing clips of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson was discovered in a military visual information storage facility near the base. The clips, dating back to 1963, were found on an archived 16-millimeter film reel stored at the Defense Imagery Management Operations Center just outside of March Air Reserve Base. In the past, the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service would receive film reels from the production studios and distribute the programming to service members around the world. After the footage was shown and no longer needed, it was usually returned to the studios, destroyed, or sometimes kept on site at the AFRTS facility. With the advent of videotape, newer episodes were recorded over the older material without much thought of archiving what is now thought to be part of the golden age of television. In all, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson highlighted nearly 23,000 stars in 4,351 episodes over a 30-year span. Carson won 6 Emmy Awards, the Peabody Award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and Kennedy Center Honors, and is a member of the Television Academy Hall of Fame. Virtually everything of his show from the 1960s had been thought to be lost, which makes this find all the more significant. The reel has been turned over to the Carson Archives. While Felix Baumgartner was breaking the sound barrier Sunday during his skydive from the edge of space, the first man to fly faster than sound, retired General Chuck Yeager, was also in the sky, breaking the sound barrier again. Yeager was serving as a test pilot and flying the experimental Bell X-1, named the Glamorous Glennis, on October the 14th, 1947, when he successfully broke the sound barrier for the very first time. On Sunday, he and Captain David Vincent, 65th Aggressor Squadron pilot, flew an F-15D Eagle to 45,000 feet over Edwards Air Force Base, California, and at 10:24 a.m. local time, broke the sound barrier again, marking the 65th anniversary of Yeager's historic flight. Yeager enlisted as a private in the U.S. Army Air Forces September 12, 1941. Later, he was accepted to flight training in the Flying Sergeants Program, and upon completion was promoted to flight. Yeager demonstrated his flying skill during World War II when he became an ace in a day after downing 5 enemy aircraft in one mission. After the reenactment flight, Yeager said, quote, "What I am, I owe to the Air Force. They took an 18-year-old kid from West Virginia and turned him into who I am today," end quote. Today, the aircraft that Yeager used to break the sound barrier 65 years ago, the glamorous Glennis, hangs in the National Air and Space Museum. When they talk about the right stuff, one of, if not the first name to be mentioned, will always be that of General Chuck Yeager. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.